You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Tuesday, Pacers' first Tuesday game of the year tonight. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast. We, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers. Of course, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, the whole show in town tonight. We're going to cover it all here. As always, I'm one of the hosts of the show, Tony East, covering the Pacers for Forbes and a variety of other places. On the line with me, covering the Lakers, I guess for now, for Silver Screen and Roll, Alex Regla. Alex, you've had better days, but how are you besides that, man? How's it going?
Definitely have had better days, but I'm happy to jump on here and talk to you again.
So I just said Anthony Davis, so that is obviously my lead question. Is he going to play?
As of the latest news, it sounds like he's questionable. I would doubt he plays based on how he looked when he kind of sprained his ankle during that Hawks game. He was limping pretty bad. He couldn't really run down the court. So I definitely think he probably sits this one out. At least that's what I would do. He looked kind of too limpy out there.
Lakers have the Bucks after the Pacers, right?
They do. This is a tough stretch for them. December's been a really hard month for them. They've kind of rolled through it so far, but yeah, they have the Pacers, the Bucks, the Clippers, Nuggets, Blazers. It's just a tough little stretch here, so they definitely want to keep AD
get him healthy. Yeah, for that run too. The Pacers play the Bucks on Saturday, and we were joking like, man, they play two teams this week that are 48-6 combined. Like, that is ridiculous. The Lakers, of course, being half of that, so they got Anthony Davis this summer, right? He's been amazing. LeBron is amazing, but what's impressive to me about the Lakers, and we'll get to those two guys, they're obviously amazing, is they have so many guys playing double-digit minutes and just contributing a little bit here and there.
Absolutely. Like, going into the season, I thought the depth of the roster and the bench was definitely a weak point. But so far, like, every guy they signed in free agency has lived up to basically what their ceiling would look like. Dwight is playing out of his mind. Rajon Rondo has been surprisingly decent.
Rondo's hitting threes.
He's probably would have been our best three-point shooters this season at a pretty good volume. Like, he's still, defenses are still sagging off him a lot, but he's at least making them when he's open. So it just speaks volumes to how so far everything's clicked. And I definitely wasn't one of the most optimistic guys about how this team built their roster, but I have no complaints with their win total so far.
Yeah, amazingly, all the guys that I thought would be bad, right? Like, Troy Daniels is here to shoot. He's not shooting, and he's still helping. And, you know, Rondo, like you just said, has been good. Avery Bradley's been kind of helpful. KCP, after like a meme start, has been good. Amazingly, the guy everybody hoped would be helpful, Kuzma, has just been okay. It's like LeBron is just making all these guys just click, and it's blowing my mind.
LeBron's been unbelievable. Like, his passing this season has just been – like, I know he's always been like a phenomenal passer, but like the stuff he pulls out every game, he's leading the league in assists. He's leading the league like in assists at the rim for threes, like everywhere. He's just doing everything and everyone's benefiting from it. So yeah, I think he's definitely been a big part why everyone on the teams looks so good. Like, even like you said, even like Troy Daniels isn't making his shots. Quinn Cook doesn't even play at all. Danny Green's not hitting any shots, but they're still rolling. And I think it's mostly because of LeBron.
So LeBron's passing obviously has always been good, but now it's even a higher level. Are they designing sets that end with him passing, or is he just breaking down the D and slinging it? I feel like it's been a combination of both, but like, what has led to this resurgence from him?
I think the spacing's been better this year. Like, I know the front court is still kind of wonky in terms of like the modern game. There's two bigs with AD and usually either JaVale or Dwight, and JaVale and Dwight definitely aren't floor spacers. So LeBron is just having a little more room to operate. When you have a guy like Danny Green who's not even making his shots, but he still demands that type of attention and that gravity, that he's not running into three or four bodies into the paint like he was last year. He's kind of getting past his initial defender and drawing that extra help and just kicking it out. And I think if you have a guy like AD also rolling to the basket, he has his own type of gravity. And I think that's creating more opportunities for assists this year.
Man, I wish Anthony Davis was going to play. He is just a joy.
He's been amazing. I if you like, it's always weird because when you watch a player for a different team and you kind of only watch like four or five games of his on like national TV, it's way different when you get to see him every single night and you have a way bigger appreciation for how good this guy is. Like, every little thing he does, from like his closeouts to just rebounding to his weak side blocks, like, he's just, like you said, he's just a joy to watch.
I might start a campaign for him to be DPOY right now. Like, I get Gobert and Giannis being awesome, and Giannis probably has just as good of a case as AD. But when I do catch the Lakers, like, he's defending the perimeter, and he's dropping into these passing lanes. And like you said, his weak side rotations are just perfect, and he's just huge. He kind of looks like a spider when his arms are out, like, he's just everywhere. It's insane to me how just everywhere he is. And I thought before the year, I had Lakers like third in the West, I think. I don't even remember. But I had them higher than most people. But people were a little low on this team to me. But I didn't think they could defend like this, you know. And AD is just everything for them on that end.
I think he's been the leader. And I think he's had this trickle-down effect to even like a guy like LeBron. LeBron's trying on defense this year. And I think AD has been a big reason why he's keeping him, you know, he's making sure he's responsible for holding up his end of the bargain, and everyone else sees how hard AD plays on that end and just kind of has that trickle-down effect where everyone wants to kind of match that intensity, because if your star player is playing that hard on defense, your role players also better play hard on defense. Like, it's just a standard that he has set, and I think coming into this game, I think they're like third in defensive rating or something like that, and that's just something defense has been an area this team has struggled in for like the last 5 to 7 years, and the moment AD comes, like, it changes, and I think that speaks volumes to how good he is.
You mean the Kobe teams weren't good at defense?
Surprisingly, no.
The late years Kobe teams, I do not want to discredit his mid-year defense. I think something that is like under-talked about in basketball in general that AD is good at is like when you have a stud defender who's always in the right position, I think that helps everybody else be in the right position just like by reacting to where that guy is. You know, they don't have to like take an extra step in because he's too far up or down or something like that. You know, everybody is more likely to be in the right position if the guy is in the right position. And I think that's a big part of why their defense is so good.
That's a really good point. And I think AD and JaVale and Dwight have also kind of told that to their guards that, hey, we're always going to be behind you to, you know, if you get blown by or if you miss an assignment or something, we're going to be there to help you out, protect you. And he's been telling his guards, be aggressive on, you know, on those screens, and we got your back. And I mean, when you have three guys in Dwight, JaVale, and AD, all really good rim protectors, like, I know JaVale has his lapses at point, but he still has a 7'6 wingspan and can still block shots. And Dwight has been amazing on defense this year. And you also have AD. Like, it just, no matter what happens on the perimeter, if they kind of go in towards that free throw line extended, you're going to have these huge 7-footers in there trying to, like, clog things up.
Yeah, the Pacers have that luxury as well with Turner, where he can just sit, you know, he's the master of the drop coverage and blowing up DHOs with dropping and stuff like that, where the guards can just be that much more aggressive. You know, Vic led the league in steals 2 years ago. They got a little more out of Collison, who isn't awesome on defense, but still than a lot of teams in the past. And now Jeremy Lamb is just the worst principles defender ever this year. But I mean, they still have that luxury with Turner all the time. And you can see it in a similar way, how that matters. Now, obviously, things are different now that they're going with two bigs, but Turner's been the same way in that, like the bigs for the Lakers, he can kind of help everybody do their job a little bit more effectively, knowing that the guy behind him is doing really well. So speaking of Turner, you look at this game, what matchup do you think will scare the Lakers the most heading into it?
I'm still kind of nervous about them guarding, like, guards. Like, that's been something that's always kind of been the Achilles heel for this team. Just small, quick guards have always just wrecked this team, from JJ Breas to just everyone. They just get crushed by these guys. So I know Brogdon has been amazing this year, and like, I saw the B-ball index player grades for him, and just unreal. Like, I didn't realize he's been, I know he's been that good, but not that good. So I think guarding Brogdon, especially with these guards, the rotation hasn't been set exactly since everyone's been healthy. So Caruso, Rondo, and Bradley are all healthy, and that's kind of been the first time this year where they've all been healthy. So the minute distribution between them and who guards who is still a bit a work in progress. So I'm interested to see who gets that assignment on Brogdon, and I hope it's Caruso, but if it's like Rondo, yeah, I think he's going to have a big night.
Yeah, he's like the apex of how good a player can be if they're like mediocrely athletic, but just so damn smart. Like, he is such a high IQ player, and he knows when to change speed and direction better than maybe anybody I've ever seen at point guard for the Pacers, or at least for a very long time. And he's just so good at it, and I never knew he had this in him because he was kind of a secondary or tertiary guy in Milwaukee. Not that that was wrong, given their roster. It's just, you know, seeing him more at the forefront has been so amazing. And I think what gives him an advantage, and I think this will be true against the Lakers, is he's tall. He's 6'5", playing point guard. And Caruso's kind of stockier, I guess, but like Caruso and Rondo and even Danny Green, Troy Daniels and Quinn Cook, they're just tiny. And so he can just use his size a little bit better on finishing. Even when he can't get the half or full step that he normally can, he's able to get a good attempt off at the rim.
So for someone who hasn't watched the Pacers a lot this year, and who's only kind of followed them through, like,
there's zero games on national TV have not been enough for you so far.
It's kind of hard to find, especially if you don't have League Pass. And
when they play like four
best,
they play like 4 p.m. in California or something like that. Something dumb.
Yeah, that's tough to watch. But yeah, for people who haven't watched the Pacers, and they've obviously been pretty good this year, what exactly is their strength? Like their team strength? What would you say? Is it the shooting? The bench? Is it Brogdon? What do the Lakers have to kind of worry about?
They're so balanced on offense, right? They have a ton of guys who can give you double digits every night. They have tons of games where they've had six guys in double figures, which kind of is what makes them hard to guard, because last year that was somewhat the case where they'd have, you know, five or six guys in double figures, but it was because Vic was like having gravity and they could, you know, it was like spread it out when they needed to. This year it's because Aaron Holiday and Justin Holiday and TJ Warren and Jeremy Lamb and Sabonis, like, these guys can create their own good shot on any possession. So there's like not an easy matchup or easy target for your defense anymore. And the Pacers can just say, oh, you're going to do this? Okay, well, we can just throw it to Jeremy Lamb and he'll get a wide open elbow jumper, or Sabonis can post up your 6'6" guy or whatever. And that's what makes them harder to defend than they have in years past. That and McMillan's not opposed to threes, but he likes open shots more than the Morey ball areas, and he'll let his guys take mid-rangers. And in the past, he didn't have guys who were awesome at it, and TJ Warren and Jeremy Lamb happen to be awesome at it. So when they're allowed to do it, even if it's not as good efficiency-wise as a three or a layup, it's still more efficient than most other guys taking mid-rangers, and their offense is just good because they have the right guys to do all that.
And that's probably going to be something I'm going to keep track of during the game, is the bench points and the discrepancy there, because the Lakers are one of the worst teams in the league in terms of bench points per game. And they're really inconsistent, where one night they can, you know, get 35, 40 points from their bench, and the other night they get like 10 or 12. So with the Pacers, the amount of guys they have on their bench and the guys you list and all their strengths, that's something I'm a little worried about, because outside of LeBron and AD, and if AD doesn't play, and Kuzma's already been ruled out, he's not going to play, I'm not sure where those other points come from. So I this is one of the games I definitely worry about. Like, I think the Pacers have a really good chance to win this game, especially considering how many guys are out for the Lakers and how the Lakers have just kind of messed around these last few games and let the Hawks just nearly beat them just by playing around and making bad decisions. So if they're not ready to play Indiana and have that intensity, I definitely see the Pacers being able to pull this one out.
Yeah, TJ McConnell, of all guys, has just fired up this Pacers bench. He was horrible to start this season. I mean, like, one of the worst players ever. I couldn't believe he was still playing. And then somehow after six games, you know, all their guys return from injury and they figure out the right rotations. And he's just been awesome. Like, he's beating defenders and setting up guys. And he's, like, such an important part of how the Pacers bench operates now. He can set up Sabonis and McDermott's been a flamethrower, and Sabonis has two-man chemistry with everybody, and all of a sudden McConnell's like an important part of the second unit success, and a lot of teams aren't ready for that. And if the Lakers are not ready for tiny little TJ McConnell to just squirm his way into the lane, they're going to get burned by the bench.
Another Laker killer, TJ McConnell.
Really?
I remember in preseason, like not preseason, summer league games where he'd play hard against like Lonzo, and so I... TJ McConnell's always been a guy who's kind of fit that bill of just a small, like, I don't know, just point guard who just gives this team issues. So I wouldn't be surprised if he plays a big role.
See, JJ Brea, you mentioned him earlier, is funny because there's so many Western Conference teams with guys I follow that like are convinced JJ Brea is like a killer of their team. It's like 5 to 10 teams, you know? It's like JJ Brea is just annoying because you don't expect him to do anything. And then he does two things. You're like, oh, JJ Brea, damn it, like of all people. And so I think McConnell having a team, I didn't know he had a team that he was a killer for, is a little different. Connell can stick it to the Lakers. I love that.
Any guard, any small, unexpecting guard could kill the Lakers. That's
Aaron Holiday's been on fire recently, so he might be able to stick it to him.
One player, like I have a personal favorite player on the Pacers, and that's Sabonis. Like I every article that comes on Sabonis, I read. Like I, no matter what, he's the guy I always check out. Just his screen setting and just how he plays and how crafty he is. That's someone I'm really looking forward to watching.
Yeah, he's very good. He is close to, if not already, an all-star this year, which is amazing. I mean, he's just ridiculous. I look forward to, if without Anthony Davis too, he's going to have like space to roam and stuff. Oh, it's going to be fun. All right. I asked you what you think the Pacers could do or what matchup you're afraid of, I guess. What are the Lakers going to do to exploit the Pacers and score points? Or defend well, I guess, but I'm assuming you'll pick an offensive matchup.
Yeah. I think.
Obviously, I think LeBron, non-LeBron category.
I'm trying to think. If there's no AD, I'm expecting he's not going to play. He says he's going to try to, but I doubt it. So if AD's gone, Kuzma's gone, I can see the Lakers just running a lot of LeBron at point and just pick and roll him with either Dwight or JaVale and spread the floor. So if the shooters, I think it could be a bounce back game for the shooters. They went 5 for 30 from three last game against the Hawks. Not good. Danny Green had a really bad game. So I wouldn't be surprised if those guys step up. Like every other game, we have a good shooting game for the Lakers. It's Troy Daniels or even like Rondo. It's someone starts to make three. So I think if the shooting comes around, it can help keep this game close.
Yeah. I mean, the Pacers are... And they've played LeBron a million times, right, when he was in the Eastern Conference Finals against them and against the Cavs in the playoffs. Like, they just know how to play LeBron. They used to just sell out to stop everybody else. Like, when they played the Heatles, LeBron, they were like, all right, do your thing. We're going to try to shut down Wade, Bosh, whatever, everybody else. And I think they kind of went with that strategy in the first round against them in the playoffs with the Cavs. I'm curious if they'll do that this time. Because last year when they played them, if you'll recall, in Indiana, it was like right after all the trade speculation and stuff.
Yeah, I remember.
Uh-huh. And it was like the worst basketball game ever. And I don't think that's a good indication of the Lakers. So I'm curious how they'll defend him if they'll do what they've done in the past, which a lot of it was Vogel, ironically, saying LeBron beat us, go ahead. Or if they'll go, okay, let's sell out to stop LeBron, especially with AD out, and make these other guys who, if Kuzma's also out, none of the rest are scoring over 10 points a game. Let's try to make some of them beat us. And I think, given the AD's out, they might go for option B.
I think it's a sound strategy. Like, you have to kind of make these guys beat you. Because you know LeBron, no matter what, is going to score 30,
oh, yeah.
8, and 8.
Especially without AD, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know who's the guy who steps up for the Lakers and gets, like, 15 points. Like, it could be like KCP. Like, he might be the most likely candidate, but if you're challenging KCP to beat you, he's not going to beat you. So I think the Pacers are smart to go with that strategy.
Yes, I also think that. Have you liked Vogel so far?
I've loved Vogel. My favorite thing about Vogel is how positive he is. He's always smiling.
He is a smiley dude. Has the picture of Vogel spinning the basketball on the pen made it to Lakers Twitter yet?
I haven't seen it. You gotta send me that later.
I know. I'll need to find it. There was a picture that the Pacers had a while ago where he had a pen in his mouth and he's spinning a basketball on the tip of the pen that's like hanging out of his mouth.
Wow.
It's funny. Yeah, he's a good coach. I think he got a terrible draw of the straw in Orlando, but he can do stuff.
He's definitely played a huge role in the defense. Like, we talked about AD earlier and his role, but I mean, everyone's bought in. Like, this defense has been great. Like, they have a few lapses here and there, but consistently they've held teams to like 103 and less like every other game. So they're doing really well on defense. And I think he's been a big reason why, and his rotation surprisingly have been solid as well. Like, I mentioned those guards earlier with Caruso, Rondo, and Bradley, and how he has to figure out how he's going to divvy up those minutes. And so far, Caruso's gained the short end of the straw, even though he's been playing really well. So that's another thing amongst Lakers Twitter that they're kind of afraid of, that Rondo and Bradley are going to get those minutes over Caruso, who's I consider the best guard on the team.
Wow, the whole team?
I mean, besides, like, point guard. I mean, if we're not counting, like, LeBron as a point guard.
And right. Danny Green's not a guard here. Okay.
Though I think Caruso's not an all-ball creator. That's the thing. Right. So I've liked when he plays with Rondo. Like, him and Rondo, that backcourt, have played really well together. But that's something that hasn't been seen the last few games since Bradley's come back.
What do Lakers people think of, like, other teams getting mad at Caruso's level of coverage? Do you even care?
I don't. I know there's...
You shouldn't.
I honestly don't care. Like, I get where they're coming from. Like, especially if your team has a player like of Caruso's caliber and also playing well, and you want them to get that same coverage. But right. I think where Laker fans are coming from with Caruso is he's genuinely good.
He's good.
And I think he's good on one of, if not the best team in the league, and he's played a really big role. Like, he's won a few games for them just from his energy and his defense. And like, if you look at like advanced metrics, like any whichever one you want, he's up there, like top three, top five defender in the league. And I think it matches the eye test as well. Like, he's just plays really, really hard, and he spaces the floor. And like, that those are the two things you want on a LeBron James team. So I think that's where Laker fans are coming from. But I don't blame people for being upset with Caruso or why other players aren't getting as much exposure. Like, he plays on the Lakers and they're the best team in the league. Like, and he's fun. And he dunks a lot.
Of course it's going to happen. I don't personally get bothered by it. I just see that sentiment all the time. I think every meme player should go to the Lakers because they'll just get their whole PR resurrected, right? JaVale, Caruso, Rondo even a little bit.
Besides Rondo. Touche.
Touche. Yeah. And kind of besides Lance, I guess, but.
Yeah, we'll save that
for a non-Pacers show.
Yes.
Oh, man, I'm excited for this one. I mean, the Pacers played the Bucks already, but it was a back-to-back after they played the Rockets, so it was kind of a terrible time to play the Bucks. Other than that, they've done pretty well against good teams, right? They were up with 45 seconds to go against the Sixers. I mean, they blew it and lost. And they beat the Jazz, and they beat the Celtics. They did pretty well in that Houston game, even though Brogdon got hurt. You know, they've been good, if not winning against a lot of these good teams, and I think this is the freshest they'll be against a stud team, and I'm really looking forward to see how they do. Now, it sucks that AD's out because the opposite sign asterisk exists, but I'm really, really looking forward to this game.
I mean, they've won a game without AD this season, so they've proved.
Yeah, what game did he miss? I was wondering which one he missed.
It was against the Warriors. So,
well,
caveat there, an asterisk, yeah, for sure. But it's possible they can win without him.
Yeah, man, the Warriors. It's so funny to me that the Warriors and Cavs are last in their conferences after they went to the finals every year for forever.
Yeah, it's still weird to me. Whenever I see the Warriors on the schedule, I'm still have that.
I have to double.
Like, we got to play the Warriors this week. Like, oh, that's right. They're not the same Warriors. So.
Yeah, I think the same way. That's so funny. All right, one more thing. What about the Lakers has surprised you the most this year?
I'm going to go back to the defense. Like, I don't think anyone would have pegged this team as a top five defense coming into this league. I think everybody would have said the offense would have been fine. They have LeBron, AD, and shooters. Like, that works.
You are talking about me right now.
But with the defense, like, I personally didn't expect them to be this good. I thought maybe, like, top 10, but not top 3, top 5. And just how everyone's bought in, and everyone's rotating, and everyone's defending the ball. And, like, LeBron, how good he's been on defense this year. Like, how much he's actually trying. I definitely think it's defense. What about the Pacers?
Ooh, what surprised me most about the Pacers? Oh, man, that's a good question. What? Brogdon is probably my answer. Like, I thought he'd be good, you know, but increased usage is going to make him inefficient right now. He's like, nah, I can still score and defend and pass and be the best player on the team and be the best locker room. It's like this dude's like almost an all-star lock at this point. Like, where did this come from? Whatever. It's ridiculous.
But like, it's crazy how good
like
he is.
You said earlier about the Lakers, like, every role player has basically been like the best case scenario. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of what surprised me about the Pacers. It's like Warren's playing defense and Lamb's doing everything he's asked to do, and Sabonis is a double-double machine. And Brogdon's like, every rotation guy, sans Turner, has been basically everything you'd want them to be this year. That's part of why they're 18 and 9.
Man, yeah, I'm pumped for this game now. Like with all what we talked about, like I'm really excited to watch
this.
It's
going to be very fun. And the loser, if it's the Lakers lose, both teams will be, I think, 7-2 in December. So obviously that's all that matters. Screw the finals. Who wins more games in December is what this is.
Are we calling it now Pacers-Lakers finals?
No, I'm not. Oh, man. Never mind. That's a question for after this. You got anything you want to promote besides your own Twitter before we get out of here?
As of now, probably not. Probably
just shoot. That was a bad question.
No. It's fine. I did have an Anthony Davis article that came out today on Silver Screen and Roll. So if you want to read that while you can, you can. And just follow me on Twitter, Alex M. Regla at Twitter.
Yes, great Lakers follow amongst many. Lakers have so many good writers. Of course, this podcast is at Locked On Pacers. Adam will be on tomorrow to talk about all the fun action against one of the best teams in the league. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you tomorrow.